Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Literacy. Is it America's silent scandal? Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen. Now, in a 40th year of broadcasting and podcasting on the Seminary Explorers, with our guest, Amanda Garner, who is the education coordinator of the Adams County Literary Council, we're certainly going to talk about literacy in a small, rural, small-town county, but also as a national and even a global issue. Let's start with the local. What's the situation with literacy in our county? How many people are in this county? Just an example for all the people who are listening, about 15?
As of the census in 2013, there were a little over 15,000 residents in Adams County. Of those 15,232 residents, 15% of those adults are reading below a fourth grade level. So you're looking at 15 out of every 100 adults that are not reading at or above a fourth grade level.
One and a half out of every 10.
Correct.
Which is scandalous. When you think about it, in every room with 10 people, there might be one there. By the way, the definition here is a little broader than one might expect. We might have thought of illiteracy as being unable to read and write, but this is a fourth grade level because...
Fourth grade is considered functionally literate, which means you can get by, so to speak. You can read basic menus. You can read basic mail that comes to your home. You can kind of go undetected under the radar. That's considered basic literacy.
You can read signs on a highway?
On a highway, correct.
You might be able to pass a driver's test?
Correct.
But what about... And I'll use myself as an example, reading prescriptions.
Exactly.
And your medicine bottles and the rolls and rolls of paper that come with them about explanations and or borrowing money and so on, reading those documents.
Well, and it's not just reading, it's understanding. And if you think of a fourth grade level, the comprehension is very basic. And so all of the examples that you just cited are excellent examples of the adults' daily struggles.
Mm-hmm. Just to get by.
Just to get by,
to correct. Comprehend. So then we got problems if we do have a television, comprehending what the news is all about or what directions they're to get from certain things they're supposed to do.
Just reading and understanding and also being able to think for themselves, to be able to take that information and kind of translate it and break it down, think outside of the box, what does it really mean?
Mm-hmm. Processing information.
Exactly.
At a fourth grade level or below is going to be quite a challenge. Locally, does there tend to be, if we can prove it, certainly anecdotally, we can talk about, job loss, poverty, connection with literacy?
Yes. So we work with local agencies, all nonprofits. We work locally with SCAP and their Work Ready program. So these individuals are on TANF, or Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. So we're partnering with them to try to help these individuals earn their high school equivalency degree. We work with the local county prison or corrections. To help inmates also receive a high school equivalency. Definitely low levels of literacy are linked to poverty and crime, and sometimes it's a generational cycle that we're trying to break.
Why is it a generational cycle? It's an issue. The kids are reflecting their parents?
Well, our current students are unable to help their children with homework, just as they may have experienced in the past. If it's an older student that comes to us, they may have come from a situation where they needed to leave school to help support the family. You know, finding a job and being in the workplace was critical at that time, and school therefore was put on the back burner. So everyone comes to us at a different point in their life and with a different set of circumstances, and we're just trying to educate not only our students but just the community of really the situation, not only in Adams County but nationally as well, as far as those adults that are below a level of functional literacy.
We read in our newspapers or even in our elite magazines, and that we're told all the time, read to your kids when you go to bed. These younger kids don't get read to. Maybe they can be told stories, but they're not being read to.
Correct. And typically our newspapers are written at or about an eighth grade level. They're really written at that middle school level. And again, just to repeat, that's not even a level of functional literacy.
Yeah. So many of the people who can't read, you find at least below the minimum wage level, not the minimum wage, the minimum living level, and might be considered in poverty or certainly in that in-between. Similarly, with job loss, it'd be difficult to sustain a job if you can't follow directions, can't count change, can't read menus.
Correct. A lot of the individuals that had worked in a long-time manufacturing plant, they are now finding themselves in search of another job. We have a lot of students that have lost their jobs because the jobs have gone overseas or the plants have just shut down, and they can no longer just get by. And employers are really looking for at least a high school equivalency. Mm-hmm. There are many people looking for jobs, and if you have someone that has a formal education versus someone who does not, unfortunately, you know, yep. Oftentimes the one without the education is still forced to look.
Mm-hmm. So it all relates to the quality of life in the community, and also to its economy, not just quality of life, but to its economy, I should say, because it'll have to do a lot with the kind of extra care we have to give, an extra expense of taking care of the children and the adults who can't read and therefore can't function very well. We've been talking pretty much on the local level, but then, as they say in politics, all politics is local. All literacy and other issues like that are local. But on the bigger picture, then, Americans in a world picture, do we have any idea? It must be enormous, then, if this is an industrialized, highly educated, highly sophisticated nation. The statistics worldwide must be staggering.
We are partners with ProLiteracy, and so the information that I give you is going to come from our literacy partners. And all of this information can be found online also, but it is true that nearly 800 million people worldwide are illiterate.
That would be the United States several times over, wouldn't it, when you think about it? Fill up the United States several times over, and that'd be that many people. In the United States, do we know approximately? We think maybe one and a half in ten here. How about in America? Is that higher, lower, about the same?
There are 93 million American adults that have basic or below basic literacy, and that's approximately 43% of Americans.
it's hard to even. Imagine that. It's hard to swallow that. People are trying to get by on that with that kind of level. While we're at it, one of the things that struck me about the impact was the number of people that we have found in prison who are functionally illiterate, and those in poverty also pretty high?
Yes. There are 75% of the inmates in a state prison that did not complete high school. 95% that are incarcerated that are integrated back into our communities. There's research that shows that inmates who are educated are about 43% less likely to return to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we, you know, try to get in with our local corrections, and we try to help educate the inmates to help them succeed, to help increase the odds that maybe they will not return.
There must be some connection. I don't quite grasp it myself, but I've read that there's something like $230 billion in healthcare that is spent every year for people who are illiterate. Is it because they don't have jobs, or when they don't have a good income, and therefore they have more illnesses to take care of? Some connection like that?
They lack just the genuine understanding of health care, health information. It impedes their ability to make appropriate and wise decisions regarding health care, when to see a doctor, how to follow prescription directions. Mm-hmm. It's just a general epidemic, really, in my opinion, all the way around. But yes, $232 billion.
I probably should have called it an epidemic rather. Excuse me, I should have called it epidemic rather than a scandal. That's a wonderful word for it. America's silent epidemic. This list. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
We're on a roll. It's okay.
Go ahead. Is there anything else on that one? You were talking while I was interrupting.
You're okay. $232 billion, and that's a yearly figure.
Yeah, it's incredible. And so we can expound on that in connection with unemployment, crime, unproductivity in society. It means that something close to a very large portion of our population are not being as productive as the rest, are more tempted toward crime, and are also suffering the blows of unemployment. It's just a matter of fact without reading.
It's almost like a giant hamster wheel, so to speak. And I don't use that analogy lightly, but, you know, just imagine day in and day out, you know, you're frustrated. You maybe want a job, but you can't find a job. You have bills to pay. You have perhaps children or a family to care for. And life doesn't stop. Mm. The bills don't stop. There's still life expenses. And where do you go for help? And some people just find themselves destitute and looking for answers, and perhaps they just turn to crime, or they make a bad decision, and then that one bad decision haunts them. A lot of people want to do better for themselves and their families, but maybe they don't know how.
Don't know where to start.
Exactly.
I think it was a cold day in December 1976 that I first began doing these interviews, so we're now in this very broadcast about 40 years from the beginning, and it's a pleasure to be with you. My guest today is Amanda Garner. She is the education coordinator of the Adams County Literary Council, and we're talking about, we changed our title right in the middle of the program. We're now talking about literacy, America's silent epidemic, rather than a scandal. It's actually both. People who listen to this podcast are always saying, okay, you've told us the problem, we recognize that, now what are we going to do about it? Again, politics is local. How do you approach the issue of functional illiteracy on the local level?
On the local level, we utilize volunteers. So we utilize tutors. Our tutors must have a minimum of a 4-year degree, and these are requirements that we are obligated to meet by the Pennsylvania Department of Education. So our tutors have a minimum of a 4-year degree or higher, and they undergo some training, and then part of my job, my role at the Adams County Literacy Council, is to match or pair those tutors with a student. So some of that is based on availability. Some of it is based on a preference. For example, if I have a student who's looking to study math, then I look for someone who's strong in math. But we look to meet those students where they are, meet their needs. A lot of what we do is based on word of mouth. We are a very small staff at the Adams County office. It's just I'm the only full-time employee, and then I have one part-time administrative assistant. So we refer on word of mouth. We do local flyers, and we're part of different volunteer organization networks. But, you know, we try to get the word out that all of our services are free. We're here to help and just try to educate and inform the community of what sources are available for them.
You have a twofold challenge, recruiting people to be your volunteers and then also discovering people who are willing enough to enter the program. And I would think your challenge in the latter is the embarrassment of not being. It's almost a no-win situation, isn't it? People don't know how to read well enough to survive in a society, a competitive society, and therefore when that happens, they are too embarrassed to admit it.
A lot of times that is very true.
So you're really trying to relate to people and not impose a method of teaching of some kind, workbooks, textbooks, and so on. take a second place to the personal relationship so they can feel comfortable.
Exactly. So much of what we do is about relationship building. It's about establishing that working relationship, that bond, that trust, because we do want the student to set attainable goals and we want them to meet those goals. But in order for that student to feel success, they also have to feel almost like a safety net, that they're not being judged.
Yeah.
And we celebrate every small step with our students because we've worked side by side with them and know the struggles and, you know, just really appreciate the time and dedication that they put into their work.
Do you have a problem with retention?
As far as students or tutors?
Yeah, yeah. Twofold challenge again. one each. Go ahead.
A lot of times our students face transportation issues, childcare issues. Maybe they have one vehicle that they share in a family. Their job schedules often change. So, yes, there are all sorts of issues that our students face. Some of our students are homeless. Some of them, like I've said, are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Some really want to earn a high school equivalency, but maybe now is not an ideal time for them. Maybe they need to focus on housing or finding a job or something bigger at the immediate moment. As far as tutors, I would honestly say we're very blessed in Adams County. I have an amazing volunteer group, and overall, I'm very grateful for the staff that I have. Naturally, there's some ebb and flow that takes place, and I have tutors that have been with us 20 plus years, and then I have sometimes a new tutor that attends a training and they decide maybe this isn't for me, and that's okay too. But overall, I'd say we're very lucky in Adams County.
It's a national, even an international epidemic, a scandal, we've said today, but I don't know as a fact. I'm not sure you do. If it's part of the U.S. budget, you don't get an automatic payment from the federal government, nor even in this state from the state. I'm not saying the state is not cooperative, but we start with the idea that there's no automatic income for the Literacy Council to overcome this scandal.
There is not. So we write a grant. It's my supervisor.
You got to go begging for money every year.
Absolutely.
From the state, first of all.
Well, and just like anything in life, our grants are becoming more competitive. They're becoming harder to obtain. And then anytime you take money from the state, you are then subject to their rules and their restrictions. We also do some local fundraising. We also look for local donations, local grants. But it's tough. Again, I'm one person. And
oh, yeah. You're not the director of financing. You are the director of education and
correct.
Everything else. Approximately what amount of your funding comes from the state, from the Department of Education?
Majority.
A majority does. So you've got to fill it out with 25%, even so, to make it. To get the books and the paper.
Correct.
And whatever else might be needed. Do you actually take students where they are? Do you go into the prisons if need be?
We have a transportation system, or I should say the Adams County Corrections has a transportation bus, and so they will actually transport them to us.
So they have to be in good behavior. They have to be cleared.
And on work release.
And on work
yes.
release.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we are willing and able to meet students at different locations. The library, we partner with Manas Unidas in town. So we do recognize that transportation is an issue. And so we're willing to meet at an in-town location to try to help with some of those needs.
Meet them halfway. Roughly, how many students are you working with at one time in this kind of a county where we're small town and rural, but roughly how many at a time?
Last year we serviced 86 students, and that's about average. Mm-hmm. We're right around between 85 and 90 students a year, and at any given time I would say maybe 25. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a little bit more than that, because we not only work with students that are interested in obtaining higher levels of literacy, interested in a high school equivalency, but we also work with ESL, English as a Second Language, and ELL, English Language Learners. And we offer not only individual tutoring, but also small groups and classes for that as well.
And a number of volunteers at any given time, roughly?
Usually around 40.
Okay, so you need to keep it as close to one-on-one as possible. In
Absolutely.
Small groups or one-on-one, it gets the best results that way.
Absolutely.
We've been talking with Amanda Garner today. She is the education coordinator. She is pretty much the Adams County Literary Council. And we've talked about the epidemic or the scandal of worldwide literacy and its local concerns. I'm Jerry Christensen for the Seminary Explorers. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.